AM 910 WJCW Tri-Cities Talk Radio. It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
AM 910 WJCW right here, Carlin Ellick, and we celebrate this Monday morning with Dr. Dean Baird joining us here from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, which sponsors this portion of the program.
That's an interesting thought. What are we celebrating? You said we celebrate this Monday morning.
Yeah. We're celebrating the return to a normal work week for a lot of people.
Well, that's a good point. It is a change for some people.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't for me, but it is for some people.
There you go. We check in with Dr. Dean each week to find out ways to make sure that our pets are happy and healthy and maintain that status. So what do you got for us this week,
Dr. Last Dean? Week we talked about gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Right.
GERD.
Yeah, just the same thing that people get, really.
Very similar.
Acid reflux.
And I said we were going to talk about a similar situation, mm-hmm. which was gastric ulceration. Most people know what that is.
Ulcers
in stomach and duodenal ulcers in people are pretty common.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And can be serious. And it's because, first of all, an ulcer is literally a hole in the whatever organ you're talking about.
The lining,
stomach,
right.
Lining of the stomach or sometimes of the most the portion of the small intestine that's closest to the stomach, which is called the duodenum.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes those can have ulcers. And they can perforate, meaning the hole can go all the way through the stomach or all the way through the duodenum. That's a big problem then because you get peritonitis.
Yeah.
And peritonitis is equivalent to death. That's the danger of ruptured appendix is the same thing. You get peritonitis. So an ulcer actually is an erosion of the mucosal layer. The mucosa is the portion of the stomach or the intestine that is the inner lining. That's right next to where the food and ingest is. That's the first layer.
Okay.
The first layer is called the mucosa. Then there's a layer called the muscular layer or the muscularis. And then the outer layer is called the serosa. That's the portion that is adjacent to the abdomen or the peritoneal cavity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So an ulcer means you've got a hole of some degree in that first layer. And you hope it doesn't go any deeper than the first layer.
Right.
But then we're talking about gastroesophageal reflux and the things that happen with changes in chemistry and pH, because this is really what this is about, is chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in the stomach? Well,
too much acid.
Yeah, but you got to remember there is acid in the stomach.
Oh,
it has to be
it
there because
there,
it helps digest.
Right.
So it's interesting that you would say that because you're correct and you're incorrect, meaning effectively, there's too much acid, but ulceration doesn't usually occur because the stomach produces too much acid.
Oh, okay.
Now, there's an exception to that. If you get a tumor in that area that's producing gastrin, one of the compounds, then that can occur. But it's usually more of an imbalance between the amount of acid that's in the stomach, like you said, is supposed to be there, gastric acid,
right.
And the other non-acidic chemicals that are supposed to be there. Now, we talked about that last week in the esophagus because we don't have acid in the esophagus.
Right.
You only have the material that comes from the saliva that's being swallowed, which is usually bicarbonate and a high neutral or high pH, not real high, but neutral pH, so it's buffered.
Right.
And then, of course, all that material goes to the stomach as well because it's swallowed.
Mm-hmm.
And then what really occurs in the environment of the stomach is right at the level of the mucosa, you've got a little bit of a symbiosis there between acid on the one hand that's in the stomach and the bicarbonate ions that are there to help protect it. And you also have histamine. Y'all know what histamine is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, antihistamine
right.
is something you take to decrease histamine. If you, like me, and you're allergic to ragweed,
you
histamine
swell
mediates
up.
The flaming up of your nose and eyes when you're allergic. And histamine is involved in this, and prostaglandins are involved in this, which is a type of anti-inflammatory chemical that the body has for several different functions. It's a little bit of a catch-22 because prostaglandins can be very beneficial in the case of the stomach. and they can be very detrimental other places because they can cause inflammation, particularly in the joint.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a whole mix of things
going
on.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
But it's an organized mess if it's working properly.
Okay.
It's when it gets to be a disorganized mess that we have trouble.
All right.
And then you can get the ulcers. So now what can happen? Well, if you get a tumor, if you get, there's a ticker type of tumor in the body called mast cell tumor, M-A-S-T. Mast cells are a type of inflammatory cell that sometimes there are tumors that produce them, and they produce a lot of histamine. And mast cell tumor, even in places other than the stomach, can cause histamine release in the stomach that can be a problem.
Wow.
Honestly, tumors are not the biggest cause. It's usually more of an environmental thing. Inflammation in the stomach, inflammatory bowel disease, animals eating stuff that they shouldn't that get the whole environment messed up down in our foreign bodies, that kind of thing. And a lot of cases of gastric ulceration occur, and we don't ever know why it happened.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not going in there and cutting into a stomach with ulcers, right? You're trying to get it healed.
Right.
So
right.
Unless we really think there's something in there to cut out, like a foreign body or a mass or something like that, it's not usually a surgical problem.
Does hydration or dehydration factor into any of this at all?
Well, it's going to make the patient worse if they're dehydrated, but it's from the standpoint of it being an etiology.
Okay. No. All right. Just curious.
If you were to open up a stomach, say, you know, all this acid in there, do you guys, do you take the acid out and set it aside? Or does the
Well, you got to remember, when you open up a stomach, like if we do surgery for a foreign body,
right,
for example, when you open the stomach, you're going to have a myriad of materials in there.
Right.
Depending
right.
on what time the last was that the dog ate.
Right.
And if they've got a foreign body in there, things may not moving through. So you probably got a stomach with dog food in it. You can't tell what's acid and what's not. Because remember what I said was that the gastric acid that's produced in the stomach sits there. And then there's also other ions that are there that are not acidic. And it's just fluid.
So it'll recreate.
Yeah. I mean, doing surgery on it is a temporary disruption of what goes on with the environment in the stomach.
Right.
If things are working normally in the patient, doing surgery is not going to stop that. Is that what you're getting at?
Well, I've just always wondered, you know, you got all this acid down there and you have a surgery, and it's just a, you know, simple question of where does that go? Do you suck all that out?
It just rebuilds
it after you sew them up, or?
Yeah, because you don't know that you're really removing that much of it anyway. I mean, if you're doing surgery and taking a foreign body out, you're going to take out what's not supposed to be in there.
Right.
And sew the rest up.
I guess
the body's going to continue to produce it, so it's really
okay.
A net zero.
Yeah, I'm just really thinking back when I see the cartoons of the bellies and the, you know, this big old thing of acid in there. It's just boiling and stuff.
That's not really the way it is.
Well, that's what I figured. That's what I ask. You know, that's why you're here, man.
So another thing that can cause gastric ulcers is using drugs that inhibit prostaglandin production. Remember I said prostaglandin is a mediator of keeping things where it needs to be. Well, an example that people can identify with is ibuprofen. Ibuprofen is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, or NSAID, as we call it, that decreases prostaglandin production. And the reason we take it is it decreases prostaglandin production that causes inflammation and pain.
Okay, right.
Unfortunately, the body, being as complex as it is, has more than one type of cyclooxygenase receptors, which are important for prostaglandin production, and the ones that are in the stomach are useful, as I said. Those prostaglandins help keep normal stomach function. So if you are a person for which a drug like that is going to cause you to have too little prostaglandin production in the stomach, then it's likely to cause you to have an ulcer.
Oh, that's not
new. I'm sure you all have heard, like everybody has, that you have to, if you have a procedure done and you're on an NSAID, they're going to have you get off of it for 5 days because they don't want you to have a bleeding.
Right,
problem.
Right.
And that's essentially what we're talking about. And the same thing can be true for dogs and cats, although we don't ever give ibuprofen because it can cause kidney failure. But we do use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that are made for dogs and cats. And that's a consideration of if we're doing it and we're giving it to him for arthritis or some other reason to make sure we're not having a secondary problem due to the complexity of medicine.
Right.
This is what happens. So what do you do about an ulcer? First of all, how do you figure out that they got an ulcer? Well, remember, it's going to erode the mucosa, so they're probably going to bleed.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll vomit up blood. That's not what usually happens because they're not usually vomiting, but they can. The more common presentation is that the blood goes through the intestinal tract and becomes digested. And the longer the blood stays in the intestinal tract, the darker it gets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a dog with diarrhea and they got fresh blood, it's coming just right out of the colon because it's coming right out.
Yeah.
But if it's coming all the way through from the stomach, it's usually going to be
white.
Take
a while. Yeah.
It takes a long time to get there. So you get what we call melena, M-E-L-E-N-A, which is really black feces. If you see that in a dog or cat, you really ought to be alarmed that something could be going on, even if the dog or cat seems like they're okay, because they could be bleeding. Now, you bring the dog or cat to us, we're not going to be able to look at it and tell you it's bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Just by looking at it, if there's really a lot of blood loss, we need to do a complete blood count to see if they're anemic. Because if they really are bleeding, then their red blood cell values are going to go down because they're losing blood.
Right.
But the thing is, you're not going to see them losing blood because it's all going out in the poop, right? It's
not
bleeding. They're usually not bleeding somewhere else.
Yeah.
They could be.
Yeah.
Not usually.
It's another way to tell that they have this is the puppy dog sits up and takes his paw and like hits his chest and goes, boy. One of those?
No, that's not another way.
Okay. I've seen it done
although
before.
Although if I see him do it, I'll be sure and
credit
and tell somebody that Eric Thomas told me that that's why that's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to make sure I give credit where it's due.
It's known as the Ellick maneuver.
Yeah.
Seem to be more of those all the time.
Right? Something like baloney, man.
Right.
Smell baloney.
Does this occur in cats very often?
No, not very often.
Okay.
I'm sure it occurs in cats.
Yeah.
But the incidence is higher in dogs than it is in cats.
Just,
cats got their own little world of vomiting and doing things.
Keep
you worried about their intestinal.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So
yeah.
You don't have to worry about ulcers because we're always worried about whether this cat's vomiting because it's a cat or whether it's vomiting more than it should because it's a cat with a problem.
Yeah.
Lots of things to talk
about.
That's
their favorite pastime, it seems to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And making
sure
they do it on your rug, not on your hardwood.
I'll have to show Dr. Dean what Slinky's been doing here.
Dr.
Dean Baird joins us every Monday from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital. They sponsor this portion of the program. Open 6 days a week, except for holidays, Monday through Saturday, 4340 North Roan Street in Boone's Creek. What's the phone number, doctor, if folks want to call or make an appointment?
282-3771.
Very good. We'll talk to you next Monday.